This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Right, guys, Sol, Israel Gutierrez, Emily Kaplan, Clinton Yates. A story we did on Friday, let me madden this. Boom, boom, boom. Should the Vikings feel disrespected? Oh, what a 60 minutes of football in Minnesota. Where is Sarah Spain today? Let me at least give Kaplan and Isola her points, because you other guys got it wrong.
Thank you.
Also, what the Cowboys proved, what the Jets didn't prove, and could Mahomes to Kelce be better than Brady Gronk? Best QB tight end all time. Let's go around the horn.
Not a good day to be a Vikings supporter.
Well, Clinton, Israel, you guys had that one wrong. Sarah's not here to get all her points, but she's a good colleague. Hands them to Kaplan Isola. 40-3? As it turned out, maybe the Vikings weren't being disrespected by being underdogs at home at 8-1. They are now a team with an impossibly juicy piece of history. I saw Trey Wingo post this. They are 8-2, but have allowed 2 more points than they've scored. So it's the best record while being negative point differential of all time. You do not want that. What a bust of a performance from Minnesota. Does a game like that revert their whole season? And then on the Dallas side of the ball, 1 week after loss that maybe you thought could detour their season, the total team effort and clicking and winning 40-3. Clinton Yates, around the horn to you. Do you want to start with Minnesota or Dallas? What just happened?
We'll start with Dallas. They are a team that picked the most opportune time of the season to have their best game of the season. And it started from a leadership standpoint with Dak Prescott. He started this game 16-for-16, was 18 of 19 on first and second downs, mixing in running backs, which is something that doesn't normally happen a lot. And here's what was the stat that actually most impressed me about the Cowboys. They had more than 100 yards in yak yards, Tony. They wanted this more as well in terms of their performance all over the field. The Vikings, who I picked in this game, did not show up whatsoever.
Thank you for reminding us.
I thought what they were going to try to do was keep the football and run the football, because the Cowboys give up so many yards on the ground. That didn't happen at all, and they got embarrassed. The Cowboys, for once, the reason why Jerry Jones' eyes are looking so big is because you look like a team that just might be
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I think I understand. I probably need a good scolding right now because of my blind Viking support.
Does.
I thought they were.
Give me the fire for
I
that.
I thought maybe they were sort of underperforming.
Viking fire. Yeah.
Instead, perhaps they were overperforming or overachieving in their close wins, because, you know, they seemed to be way too reliant on one left tackle who left the game. Christian Darrisaw left the game again with a concussion early because that offensive line looked terrible without him out there. You really got to be concerned about the space the Cowboys receivers had, or even the running backs had out in space. And I mean, I will say this about Tony Pollard. Like, he is special. I mean, 6.8 yards per touch. That's the most of any running back with 100 plus touches this year. That's more than Christian McCaffrey, more than Aaron Jones. Like, you get the ball in that guy's hands, a lot of good things can happen. And I think Dak is very comfortable knowing that he has not just check down options, but options that can be breakaway options from the running back position. So I think it's not a good look for Minnesota. I think it's going to be a lot of question marks. And again, that offensive line's got to be fixed. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything they
not
can do.
Not a good sort of look for Minnesota. Is that how? That's some PR work there. Emily Kaplan, what did we witness last night?
You know, we're going to talk about leadership and accountability when we talk about the Jets. It wasn't just Dak Prescott in this. How about Micah Parsons? He took responsibility for those defensive struggles against Green Bay after the first time in his pro career he did not generate a pressure. He comes out in this game and on the first drive forces a turnover. He has 10 pressures, which is a career high for him as a pro. And, you know, when we talk about Minnesota and that point differential, which is really embarrassing, I do think that this game just exposed them, because they are 7-0 in one possession games. So when they play the two best teams in the NFC, which is Dallas and Philadelphia, they've been outscored 64-11. That's just really embarrassing.
Frank Isola, to you now.
And, you know, let's remember, they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost on the road. And I get it. It's a road loss. Dallas. But that's something this organization had never done before. Yeah. I'm talking about Dallas. And so you need a dominant defense if you're going to win big and win a Super Bowl, like Jerry said after the game, because he's the biggest Dallas Cowboy fanboy out there. So, of course, they have a great win. And now they're going to go to the Super Bowl. But also, let's look at Dak Prescott. A lot of pressure on him after the way that he played that fourth down pass. And Clinton gave you the numbers. To me, you're a legitimate team when you have a bounce-back win like that and you're doing it on the road against a team with a great record, more so than any game that they've played this season, that performance made the Cowboys look more legit than they've been for me in over a decade.
And we can understand that Jerry does think they're a Super Bowl team. We have the rest of our lives and every day in between to talk about that. But last on Minnesota, Frank Isola, when you want to be respected or thought of as a serious operation, let's even say it that way, to come out the way they did, is that a not just – a detour this season. Is that it? Can they recover from this? Do you believe this team has it in them?
I think they can, and of course they play Thursday night against the Patriots. But here's the thing. If you go back to that game against New England, you know the coaching staff is thinking, we got away with one. We should have lost that game in Buffalo. So that's really two poor performances in back-to-back weeks. And they also got a little lucky against Washington, if you're being fair about it as well.
What it is it's a knock-it-off loss, as in get all these chains and all the social media foolishness out of there. It's time to play some football if you're the Vikings, because you just got embarrassed at home.
Mm-hmm. We've been horned. We'll move on. Patriots 10, Jets 3. It defies logic that a game with no scoring the whole way gets decided on a last-second punt return touchdown. There had been no punt return touchdowns in the league this year, over 500 of them. But no touchdowns, and that's how Marcus Jones calls game, 84 yards. That was beautiful. So there's inconceivability of that, but there's the intractability of the Jets' offense. Anyone know how many total yards they had of offense in the second half?
Most knows.
Two! Yes, Clinton, two! Garrett Wilson, rookie receiver, napalmed the locker room after, says, I'm done with this. This bleep is sorry. He called out the offense, called out the coaches. Here's the other Wilson, Jets quarterback Zach Wilson.
As an offense, though, I mean, you guys are only able to score 3 points. The defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down?
No.
Head coach Robert Saleh, who called the offense dog bleep, said he never considered benching Zach Wilson for his play. So was that performance so bad it has you questioning if Zach Wilson is the guy or if Saleh's playing this right, Frank Isola?
Again, it goes back to what I always say. If a guy's struggling, why can't you pull him out of the game? He could still be your quarterback for the future, which I don't know if that's the case. But at some point, pull him out. And if you're Zach Wilson and you want to gain some credibility in the locker room, even if you don't believe it, that question is asked, you should thank the reporter, because that's your opportunity to say, put this on me. I need to do better. I mean, come on. In the second half of that game, he didn't do anything. You only put up 3 points on a, you know, on an okay New England team. But of all the way that the Jets have lost over the years, and if you grew up in New York, you've seen it. Remember the Dan Marino fake spike that happened? They lose on a punt where all they had to do was kick the ball out of bounds. Why are you kicking it there? And there might have been an illegal block on the play, but that was such a Jets way of losing a game. Heartbreak City all the way.
The Jets were hoping they weren't the Jets, or they were a new Jets this year, Israel Gutierrez.
Not the
when
same
you heard
old
the
Jets.
Quarterback say no like that, what did you hear?
Well, that's the thing, Tony, is Saleh's in a kind of unique situation where they need to assess Zach Wilson here, but they're also a little bit better than expected, especially because of that defense. It's just high-level defense. I can't. One word I can't say. And so you want to assess him, but you also at some point you have to pull the plug in a game like this. You've got one, maybe two other quarterbacks on that roster that could probably win you that game or at least not lose you the game, right? And look what he's doing. He's overthrowing people. He's like apparently not understanding what play that they're calling, and then he's not taking accountability at the end. At some point you might lose the locker room if you keep sticking with Zach Wilson and everybody else in there says, hey, we should move on. We've got a couple other guys that can take us to some
right place. Emily Kaplan, there were two Wilsons in the locker room talking. The rookie receiver Garrett Wilson. I mean, to hear that from a rookie receiver to say we can't, this is sorry, is one side of it, and then from the quarterback Zach Wilson saying I don't take blame for this here. How'd you hear it?
It's me. Hi, The problem is Zach Wilson, and he doesn't want to admit it, and I hate piling on, but, like, it's truly him. I mean, the facts are Joe Flacco has not played in 2 months, and he still has more touchdowns than Zach Wilson. Garrett Wilson, meanwhile, is, like, my hero out there. He's speaking with passion and accountability, and he really sounds like a leader. I think if the Patriots have one defining characteristic that's their best characteristic of the season, they can bring out the worst in their opponents, and I feel like when we look back on this game, it's going to be the turning point for Zach Wilson's career when he completely lost the fan base and it all unraveled for him. And it's just kind of sad to watch.
You think this is it then? You think this is it for Zach Wilson and the Jets? And okay, Clinton Yates, how about you?
He has no confidence on the
field.
I don't
know if this is
it. 55% completion percentage, which is lowest in the league. If these are the standards he sets for himself, I think dude's got to have higher standards.
Oh. Clinton Yates.
Right. I was going to say, I don't know if it's necessarily just about this team. It's about whether or not you picked the right guy in general. Let's not forget the quarterbacks that they passed up in order to get him. And so overall, when you have a guy that doesn't seem to understand what's going on the field in front of him, my guy, y'all team had more punts than you had completion. Of course it's up to you. This doesn't even make sense. And so if you can't get that what it takes to be an NFL quarterback is more than what you're putting out there, then you don't deserve to be in the league, never mind on that team that's that good.
I gave you the algorithm there like it was some amazing – they had 10 punts. Yeah, you just had to count on two hands and you got there. But well done, Clinton Yates. One more story here now. Kansas City over the Chargers last night, just like the last time and just like a lot of the other times. And Mahomes on the last drive, just like the last time and a lot of other times. And Herbert with a game-ending pick, just like a couple times. And Mahomes to Kelce for 3 touchdowns, like many times. Mahomes after the game called Kelce the greatest tight end we've ever seen. So I want to ask you, Brady to Gronk or Mahomes to Kelce, Israel? Who's the greatest of all time?
Whew. I'm going to take the Mahomes to Kelce. And I know I understand the success that Gronk had with Tom Brady. I understand, you know, you look at Tony Gonzalez's numbers and the longevity, and I don't think we're done assessing Kelce here. But when I talk about ability from that position, the way he can explode out of the breaks like a wide receiver, the way, you know, his body is just obviously big at the tight end position, the way it's hard to bring him down, like, you take away Tyreek Hill from this offense, and he just does more responsibility, even though there are more eyes on him. Again, I don't think, you know, obviously he's not done. He's going to have to have maybe 3 or 4 or 5 more of these types of seasons. But I think watching him play, maybe a little bit of recency bias, but I definitely believe he to be the
Frank
best
guy. Isola.
Oh, come on. Come on, Izzy. Listen, the guy is a good player, but please. The guy throwing the ball is a football genius. And when everyone was watching that game and the Chargers had to score there, I get it. Justin Herbert, all the Charger players, they knew this dude is marching right down the field. We gave him too much time, and he's going to score. Kelce's terrific. It's all about that quarterback. Put any tight end with him or most tight ends, big-time talent, they're going to do that as well.
So then for the question, you're taking Brady and Gronk or you're taking other QB tight end combinations?
I'm going to take Gronk. He's done it longer. Kelce's terrific. I'm not trying to say he isn't, but that's all about that quarterback. That guy's at a different level. Come on.
Glenn Yates.
Well, Gronk hasn't necessarily done it longer. Him and Kelce are the same age, but that's also why I take Gronk. When they went head-to-head in a Super Bowl, the guy that made the difference was Gronkowski, and they thus won that game. I do like Mahomes saying, though, that he takes Kelce over the guy in his own franchise, which is Gonzalez, which is a separate little discussion, but I like Pat sticking up for
him. And we cap.
You know, I think that he's going to end up as the greatest tight end of all time because he's age 33 right now and he's on pace for career years in all meaningful categories. And because I get the last word, sorry, I'm not sorry, I'm bringing hockey into this. It's like the Alex Ovechkin from the left face-off circle. You know exactly where he's going to be in the end zone.
You do.
Right? You know what's
you
going
know
to
what's
him.
Happen.
Everyone tries to guard him and you can't do it
if
anyway.
You're the Chargers and he's beaten you twice, you know what's going to happen on the that last drive. They took a minute.
You're
they could have done it in 13
Kelce for
seconds.
Having Mahomes, but not Gronk for having Brady?
Yeah, that was odd a little bit, Frank. The idea.
Helen Winslow.
That Emily Kaplan quoted Taylor Swift and sang her. Are we going to be in trouble with Taylor Swift? Is she going to charge us $90,000 per ticket for her next concert?
Flattery. It was flattery. And plus, my singing wasn't that good. I don't think she'll care.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Avatar, The Way of Water. Experience it only in theaters December 16th. And don't miss the final trailer debut during Monday Night Football tonight.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Since Taylor Swift hasn't shut us down, Emily, we happily move forward with the news of the day. USA won, Wales won, and exhale. Opening game with a bit of everything. American-controlled first half, capped off when Christian Pulisic found Tim Weah. And the second half for Wales. And the equalizer on the spot from Gareth Bale, who pulverized through Matt Turner's hand, who guessed correctly, but it was just back of the net. Walker Zimmerman picked up the penalty. And then even after that, some saucy moments late. Kelvin Acosta taking a yellow card, maybe saving a real tough spot for the U.S. in the 99th minute, but a draw, Frank Isola. We start with you. How do you assess the opening game?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing when you have a 1-0 lead and you're in the 82nd minute. You have to find a way to usher that game out and get the 3 points. Great goal, and Timothy Weah, whose dad, Georgie Weah, one of the greatest players ever, never played in the World Cup. But where are all the chances from the U.S.? Just didn't create enough. And if you're Zimmerman there, you're going to go into Gareth Bale from behind in that situation. You got to stay on your feet. You cannot commit a foul, especially with Gareth Bale's got his back to the goal. That was a big disappointment.
Too defensive after getting an early lead, Frank?
Yeah, and I think maybe that's part of the inexperience of the roster as well. You know, you look at the way England played, you know, they put up 6 goals in the game. I understand the opponent's a little bit different, but I thought the U.S. was the better team. I mean, Gareth Bale looked like he's ready for retirement out there, but yet he got one chance, got fouled, and he finished off the penalty.
Clint Yates.
This was a B-minus to me overall. I thought that they came out and showed fight, which was something that I was concerned about, what the level of urgency was going to be for this group of young guys that have, you know, since missed a World Cup since prior to. Weah was playing great in the first half, goal aside. He just happened to get that on a nice combination of things. I thought overall that Turner played probably a better match than he'll be graded for because of the fact that he gave up the PK. But that's the reason why the Welsh have Gareth Bale, is because opponents panic and do things when they think he's going to be the one to score. You can ask teams in MLS about that. And it worked out for the Welsh. So overall, for Berhalter, I think he saw enough to know they've got a chance to get out of this group, but lurking in that group, obviously, is Iran, who got 2 goals late against England. That could come back to haunt the U.S. men's national team.
Kaplan.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a must-win game, but it was a must-point game, especially with the way that England showed out earlier in the day. You know, Wales was an underdog. Their manager said it themselves. He threw that U.S. and England were their favorites there. Out of all the teams that qualified from Europe, they had the lowest possession numbers. And I thought our first half was excellent. The possession was there, the shots were there, the energy was there, and then it slowed down. But for me, as a Chelsea supporter, I've got my eyes on Christian Pulisic. I think this is a career-defining tournament for him. He was stripped of the C. You know, he's at Chelsea now with 3 managers who just don't know what to do with him. He's been relegated to a super sub. So a strong performance from him could facilitate a transfer. He was excellent in the first half. He produced, but in the second half, he was invisible like the rest of the team.
Is Ruben Gutierrez.
Yeah, I would say it was uneven and overall disappointing. I think the first half was encouraging, not just with possession. Zimmerman, Dest, and Ream, the three of them all had more touches than any Wales player had, or twice as much, rather, than any Wales player had in the first half. You had, you know, the obviously calm touch there from Weah for the goal and overcoming some questionable officiating. I mean, especially early on, the U.S. had 4 yellow cards in this one. They had 4 yellow cards in the entirety of the 2014 World Cup. So I think to overcome that is encouraging, but then to sort of follow apart when Wales was picking up the pressure. And Frank mentioned it, I think Clinton as well. That was a kind of a nervy tackle from Zimmerman there to get that foul on Bale there. And yeah, they probably got lucky, honestly, in the end, or maybe played a little smart and got a little bit lucky at the end to not fall behind. But in the end, out of the nine World Cups where the U.S. played in with group stage, every time they've either drawn or won, they've advanced. So that's encouraging if history holds.
Frank, on the group now, I know one shot and one goal for the U.S. in game one, and Clinton alluded to Iran getting two goals against England.
Yeah, that's why for me, I think you got to root if you're for the U.S. You got to root for Iran and Wales to draw in their next match, because if you're the U.S., it's going to be tough to beat England. They've never beaten us in a World Cup game, by the way. But you want to give yourselves a chance on that final day, because remember, England's going to play Wales. The U.S. will get Iran. But Friday, Black Friday, huge game, England-U.S.
Ben Yates, thank you for your time today. It's for Gutierrez. I found it interesting. You thought Dest looked good today. Yeah, Dest did look good, didn't you? Yeah, you would see it, a little bit of Israel and Dest and, Pete Davidson. All right, thank you.
Definitely.
Gutierrez.
Just like I look like Taylor Swift.
Kaplan, Isola. Showdown coming up in 4 minutes.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
College football highlight of the weekend. TCU winning at the last second of the last second. Some are critical of this. I say there are NFL teams we see can't pull this off. Everybody got lined up and they kicked it. Emily, do you have more faith in the Horned Frogs or maybe even the Wolverines after tight wins, or do you have less?
I have no faith in Michigan right now. After nearly losing to Illinois, Jim Harbaugh had to remind us for the 84th time that he's a Michigan historian and was hyping up his kicker as legendary. Like, I don't think that's the way to go into Ohio State week.
Right, guys, Sola?
Let's remember, Tony, before the season, you said who could sneak in there. I said USC, but you said it right about TCU. Mm-hmm. Think about the players and the coaches to be able to pull that off. That's at the college level. So all you NFL teams that can't do it,
I agree.
Shame on you.
I agree.
Excellent work by TCU.
They don't deserve to win. They win games late. They win them. So I guess 100%. You can't complain about that. But they do something we see NFL teams struggle with. We'll move on. We've seen players stay late on the court after bad games or to get a workout in. This is the Giannis Harrell story here. You know about it. That Harrell wanted to work out too. Philly arena staff just probably wanted to do their job and go home, I bet. But Giannis saying he didn't mean to knock over the ladder. We're just trying to get those 10 straight free throws in. Who you got here? Antetokounmpo's, because his brother Thanos was involved as well, or Harrell? Frank?
Well, let's remember, Montrezl Harrell first comes and gets the ball. That's why Giannis went back to the locker room to get a ball, and then the ladder was there. Giannis should not have pushed the ladder, I'll give you that. But it's refreshing to see a star player out there after a game. Izzy reminded me that Kobe did this in Miami. No harm, no foul. This is on Montrezl Harrell, not Giannis.
Kaplan.
Yeah, he was totally provoked by a punk, and all he wants to do is get better, work on his game, his work ethic. If this is the biggest controversy in his career, I'm totally
I agree with both of you on that. But plenty of places to work, yeah? Let the arena crew go home, please. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Frank Isola.
10 minutes. There we go. Well, I'll see you in Montclair this week, by the way, Emily. Let's hear it for the comeback players of the week in the NBA. Klay Thompson, 41 points, 10 three-pointers, and also Ben Simmons. We take his temperature all the time. Last night, 11 of 13, 22 points for Ben Simmons. He made his free throws against Portland in a win. Last night, he looked terrific, and guess what? Tomorrow night, he goes back to Philadelphia. That's going to be a big night for him. His game looks good now. Emotionally, he looks good. Good for Ben Simmons. If we're going to criticize him, let's give him some praise. He was very good last night.
No Embiid, no Harden, no Maxi.
Frank Isola,
that's
today's
not a
champion.
I'll see if I can find time for you.
We're on a 23.5-hour break
in New Jersey.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.